everybody, and welcome to episode 75 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts,
Tony.
And I am Lou. What's going on, Tony?
Too much.
Yeah? What have you been up to? Anything exciting the last 2 weeks?
Well, I have lots of entertainment stuff to talk
about. Oh, that's good. We're doing an entertainment podcast, so that'll fit in really nicely.
Yes, we are.
If I seem like I'm having trouble following along, I went to the eye doctor yesterday, and they dilated my eyes, and they're still not back to normal. I can't see this very well, and I'm not.
Maybe you need glasses.
I do. In fact, she gave me a prescription for reading glasses.
That's the sign of getting old for sure.
Yes, it is. And she told me that the first time I saw her, that I initially started going to see her because we had to take our son to the eye doctor when he was about 4 months old because there was something that they like to check at that age. And so I figured,
that would be their eyes.
Yeah, something specific about their eyes. And so I figured, well, you know, I haven't been to the eye doctor in forever. I'll have my eyes checked. And so I started going to her. And she told me even then, she's like, well, you're going to be 40, or I was 40 actually at the time. She goes, you're 40, so your eyes are going to start going downhill pretty rapidly now. I'm like, thanks, doc.
Did she address the lazy eye?
You mean yours? She's never met you.
Actually, my eyes are about the only part of me that's not lazy.
So there you go. But
so you have to get glasses.
I'm going to have to get reading glasses.
You know, that's from sitting in front of a computer all day.
Yeah, that would actually make sense.
There are repercussions for that.
Okay, thanks.
You are going to pay.
Thanks, Mom and Dad. I don't know why you felt the need to chastise me about my work habits. You know, I do work in front of a computer.
Yes.
Yeah, so there you go. But yeah, I don't like it. And then last night, I couldn't read anything last night. It was a total drag.
Right.
I'm surprised
it's good you don't read books.
I'm surprised they let you
really be a hindrance though.
I'm surprised they let you drive. You know what I mean?
Yeah, really. That's a good point.
You can still see far when they're dilated. It's just up close that it doesn't work.
So the kids running from the car, those are the things you're not going to see.
They're not my kids. I'm just kidding. So what else is going on? Do we have some listener mail?
We do. Feedback? And let me ask a question first before I read this. Did you watch The Walking Dead on AMC?
No. I heard all about it.
We are terrible.
I didn't even know about it until after.
Me too. And then all these people are posting on our wall about it, and I feel we shouldn't be doing a podcast.
Our own Brendan saw it. Yeah. Right, Brendan?
Very good.
Yeah, he liked it. He gave it a thumbs up.
Review. Well, some other people, Dave wants to know our thoughts on The Walking Dead. And you know what? We will have those thoughts.
My thoughts are that they should have advertised it better. so that we would have known about it.
I just saw the commercial like day before yesterday, and it looks really cool.
Yeah. Is it live action or is it animated?
Oh, it's live action.
Oh, okay.
And you know, we love zombies. So
sure. Who doesn't love a good zombie?
He said one episode in, and for him, it's the best show on TV this season, and he hopes it keeps up the pace.
Is it can you go and watch that on the Intergoog?
I don't know. That's a good question. I know it's got to be available on Comcast On Demand. I know you don't have that, but you know, it's the same station that has Breaking Bad and Mad Men, and those are available, so I would assume that this would be as well.
I'm getting so tired of DirecTV.
Oh, wait till I have something to say about DirecTV later.
Okay. I'll save my rant.
Although I don't think it really pertains to you.
But I'll save my rant for then.
Okay, yeah. Kelsey sends us a hi from Florida.
Hey, hope you're having a good time. Don't forget to look for Tiki stuff for me. Text me.
Steve also says that The Walking Dead was great. He says in the character development stage, but it looks to be amazing. Plus the stuff Dave said about, Dave also said that it would be nice if we recommended new apps or gadgets or websites on every show.
Okay. We'll start doing that next time.
I agree. Yeah. We weren't prepared this week, but
no, we're not generally not prepared
for even the stuff we're supposed to talk
exactly.
about.
Exactly.
But Steve agrees about talking about apps, and he says there's an app he likes called Zoodles for Android. It's for kids who want to play on your phone, and his five-year-old loves it. She can watch short cartoon episodes and play games, even learning games.
You know, that's pretty fabulous because sometimes you just need to distract a kid. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That is one of the first things that you learn as a new parent, distraction, distraction, distraction.
Right. That's why I push for abstinence.
This is going to be the most ridiculous argument ever in the history of arguments.
I'm kidding. I'm not even going there.
Because you know what's really funny is before you have your first kid, when you know you're going to have kids, right, before you have your first kid, you talk about all the things that you're going to do and how you're going to do things. And, you know,
yeah, which reminds me, when we were younger, you had always said that when you had a kid, just as a joke, you were going to teach your kid
all the wrong words,
all the wrong words, like the opposite meanings of the real
word.
Not
opposite meanings, but just, you know, we were going to teach him that, you know, we'd point to a fork and say that it was a, you know, banana. Or something.
And you so have not been doing that.
Well, we haven't really been
You're
doing
really
that.
You're really a man of your word.
We haven't really been doing that, but we do. He started this thing earlier this year where he just starts making up words for things. So, you know, he's always learning new words and his vocabulary is increasing all the time. He's 2.5, you know, that's the age for that. And so he would go, you know, we'd be sitting at the table eating breakfast or something, and he'd go around the table and he'd say, "Mommy, Daddy, Enzo." You know, and we thought that was really cute. And he'd do that a few times. And then he'd get this big smile on his face and he'd go, "Poco, Loopy, Mungbo." And just like give us all new names. And he does that all the time.
Oh my God. So you know what he's done? He is totally turning it on you.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't even know what my own name is anymore.
Which one were you of those three?
I think I was Mungbo. I'm pretty sure.
That's
but
really
the only thing
funny.
The only thing that he gets confused by still, which is kind of cute, is that, you know, since he calls us Mommy and Daddy, uh-huh, but he also knows our real names, you know, our actual names.
Right.
He thinks that son is his name, but the, you know, the pronoun,
right,
is Enzo.
Right.
So he's a little bit backwards on that, right, but I think he's starting to get it. But it's pretty
cute.
Yeah, it is cute.
By the way, very cute pictures you posted of him in his Halloween costume.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Don't be discouraged by my mom's comments. I don't know what she was giving you a
Just to give a little background, I had commented that one picture I thought was a beautiful picture and that he should blow it up and hang it in his house. And then I got a little chastised, maybe, from your mom because he wasn't smiling in the picture.
Yeah. Why do you like that one? I like the ones where he's smiling. She's a little bit of a photo Nazi, that one.
Yeah. And apparently sounds like Vic Tayback.
Yeah. Well, you know what? He's been out of work. He needs the help. No, but what I was going to say is, so you have all these ideas of what you're going to do with your kids and how you're going to raise them and everything. And then you just realize that it's complete chaos and they make your brain melt. And so, right, you just have to distract them as much as possible,
right,
with shiny baubles and things like iPhone apps, like that Zoodles or whatever, right, it's called. That's really cool. And you know what maybe we can do? Because you are now Mr. Apple. Your whole world is run by Apple.
I prefer Senior Apple. Senior Manzana.
The Senior Manzana. There, yeah, you go. And I may be getting a Windows Phone 7 phone.
Ah.
And then our own Brendan, you know, he has the old Android phone. So maybe, you know, maybe he could contribute something too.
Certainly.
Would you like to do that?
Is your workload enough, Brendan?
Trust me, he's got plenty of free time over there. Deducting that last hour from yesterday.
Steve also mentions about the Back to the Future game, which I think we reported on long before, you know, when it was in development stages, but I think it's just about to come out if it hasn't. It's episodic. And I do know that if you buy the Blu-ray trilogy for Back to the Future, you get a code so that you can download the first episode.
Wait, did that come out this week?
I want to say it came out last week. Last week.
Oh, it was last week?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's out.
Wow. Yeah. That's going to be cool to see.
This week was Toy Story 3.
Oh, that's right. That's
and
right.
The Sound of Music.
That's a weird bundle.
It's not a bundle.
Oh, two separate releases, I understand.
Also, Stritch posted a couple things on our wall. He posted a really cool video, the Daft Punk video for Derezzed. And
yeah,
it shows scenes from Tron Legacy.
Right, from the Tron soundtrack.
Yeah, that we have not seen yet.
Yeah.
It looked very cool.
Yeah. A lot of it was stuff that was in the previous trailer,
right,
but there's some new shots in there too. And I, again, my biggest hope for this movie is that it doesn't suck. I'm a little bit put off by the white haired dude with the British accent.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I
just imagine that if the programs and stuff inside a computer were actually alive, I don't imagine they'd be so vaudevillian and showtunesy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It just seems a little out of place. But, you know, hey, technology.
But the response, you know, they had that, like they did for Avatar, they had where you could see it 20 minute. You could go see 20 minutes of the movie. And
oh, really?
Yeah. And reviews from it have been great.
Oh, so, good. That's good news. I think that we should get
They've
together.
They've also been working feverishly on updating the first one. And it's supposed to come out, well, speculation is it will come out the week on Blu-ray, the week that the new movie comes out.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
It'd be great if it was a month ahead of time so that people could
right.
get I mean, caught with up.
The, yeah, I don't want it the same week.
Right. Speaking of which, we are going to be posting on Pause.com a little collector's guide to the original film. So look for that before the new movie hits, just as a little heads up. I think that we should do a big Pause.com entertainment podcast Tron get together and get a big group of people together to go see the movie. Because
that's hard to do because most of our, well, a lot of our listeners don't live in
no,
the city.
I know, but I mean, I'm sure you want to see it. I want to see it. Our buddy Todd Stashwick will be in town again for the holidays, and he has expressed interest in wanting to get together to go see it. And I was telling you that I'm going to try to get in touch with an old friend of mine from high school who is the kid who I went to see the original movie with. Uh-huh. So it'd be cool to get him to go, and then, you know, we could talk about our memories of seeing the original film. I just think it'd be kind of fun, you know. So if anyone wants to fly to Chicago for the Pause.com entertainment podcast, Tron get-together, let us know.
All at your expense.
Yes, absolutely, all at your expense. We will provide, I'll tell you what, if you fly in, we'll buy your treats.
There you go. We'll even buy your ticket.
Buy your ticket. Yeah. There you go.
Stritch also says, more Ted Knights. He says he blew Coke out of his nose when you did that impression. I have to say that is one of your best impressions.
Oh, why, thank you. I'll see if I can figure out a way to work that in from time.
Well, yeah,
to time.
You have to. He's asking. He's begging for it.
All right, fine. But I can't do it now. Point. I can't do it now. He's already put the drink down by now. He heard it coming. You're Stritch, let me know what time you generally eat spaghetti. Do you remember in high school somebody in our lunchroom actually blew spaghetti out his nose?
I don't remember things like that.
Brett Pazumka. That was a kid's name. I'm just saying. Just wanted to get that out there. It was in our yearbook that year.
Him
you know
blowing
how people,
spaghetti out of his nose.
Well, that somebody wrote about it. Because remember you could buy those little squares where you could write notes?
Uh-huh.
And somebody memorialized it in one of those notes in our yearbook.
Oh, the memories.
Yes.
You ready to move to games?
Sure.
I have a lot to talk about
in
games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've been playing Dead Rising 2.
Okay.
I love it. Did you ever play the first one?
I don't think so.
You know, it's zombies, first of all, so you got me in zombies.
No, I was thinking of Dead Space. I don't think I know what Dead Rising is.
The first one took place in a... Well, they both take place in a shopping mall, and there's zombies in the mall. Kind of like, you know, it's kind of an homage to the George Romero movies.
Sure.
And
by the way, are George Romero and Cesar Romero related?
I don't know.
Well, you're fans of both of their work. I just thought maybe...
Yeah, but I mean, not enough that I know their personal backgrounds.
Okay.
But Dead Rising 2 is so much fun, and I like... there are some things about it I like that they kept from the old one, and some things about it I don't like that they kept from the old ones. For example, you know, it's kind of like mission based, and it's pretty linear, but you can kind of, you know, it's kind of open world, so you go on and do your own thing, but you have a time limit, and so you're always checking your watch, and there are certain things you have to do at certain times, and that was something I found in the first game to be really annoying. That so far hasn't become annoying here, but you still have that thing looming over you.
Sure.
In this one, you're playing a different character than in the first one. This one, you have your daughter who has been bitten by the zombies.
Okay.
But she hasn't yet become a zombie because now they have like this antidote that he's supposed to give her like once a day.
Right.
And so no matter where you are, you always have to be watching your watch because you have to be there between 7 and 8 a.m. to give, give her the medicine. And you also have to find the medicine because you can only carry so much or find so much at a time. But what I do like about this one that I didn't like about the first one, your character in the first one was a photographer. And so you always had to be like shooting pictures. And then
you had to break for weddings and.
Well, no, but I mean that's how you got your like you got points for that. And your levels were raised by how many pictures you took. And the more, you know, outrageous your pictures were, like if you see zombies eating on someone, you know, you got a lot more points for that picture than, you know.
Yeah.
Just someone doing nothing.
Right.
Let me just say to the game developers, if any of them are listening, I don't like the taking pictures thing.
Yeah.
Remember in Bioshock you had to take pictures too?
Yeah, but it was it was like one or two missions, wasn't
it? Yeah, but you got bonuses if you continued to take pictures and you took
I ignored
enough
that.
Pictures. Yeah, I did too. But I don't like the whole pictures thing.
Yeah, you know, the other thing that sounds like I wouldn't like this game is I absolutely hate inventory management as a cornerstone of gameplay.
Oh, this isn't though.
Well, but it is if you can only carry so much of the.
Well, what I don't like, you can only carry three or four weapons. I think it's four weapons. You only have four slots. So if you have a food item you're carrying, like suppose your health is going low and you pick up some food, but you don't want to eat it yet, that takes up one of the slots you could have a weapon in.
See, that's what I'm saying. Inventory management as gameplay to me is not fun. And I don't think that there should be a magic bag that can hold everything.
Right.
But at the same time, the whole thing with having to be back at a certain place by a certain time to give your daughter the thing and being able to only carry a limited amount of that, that's not fun. That becomes like
tedious,
work
yeah.
and tedious, yeah.
Another thing that's cool about this game that they didn't have in the first, you can now take in both games, what's great is just about any object can be a weapon. So like a zombie's coming at you, you can just pick up the park bench or the trash can and either throw it at them or hit them with it. And so you'll find all kinds of things laying around. There's stuff hidden. So it's a mall. So like every store.
Sure, has stuff.
Yeah. So you go to the sporting goods store and you grab like a baseball bat
right.
or like a golf club.
That's pretty cool.
Or you go to like the cooking store and grab, you know, knives or something. But another thing I don't like is that your weapon can only be used so much. And it obviously
and then it sort of degrades.
Then you no longer have it. Then you've like destroyed
it. Oh, it disappears?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then you move on to the next weapon. But what's great about this new one is you can take two things. Like suppose you have a box of nails and a baseball bat. Well, then you can go into the maintenance room and you can make a bat, a spiked
with nails
bat
sticking
with the nails.
Is it only certain things that you can combine?
Yeah, but it looks like they've thought of everything.
Yeah, right.
And then for every weapon, you can collect these collector cards of the weapons that you created. But, I mean, they have to be, you know, they have to be programmed in there.
It's not like
you're going to come up with something that they
right.
don't already have.
Right.
So you get bonuses for that. But I'm just having a lot of fun. Just the killing zombies, I mean, because there's thousands of them, just with different, you know, techniques and different weapons. It's a lot of fun and very satisfying.
Yeah. That's cool.
And there's some humor in it, too. I'm having fun with it. I also played the demo for Need for Speed Hot Pursuit.
Okay.
Now, this is the new Need for Speed game, but it's made by the people, Criterion, who made the Burnout games.
Okay.
It's really cool in that it's kind of a mix of both games.
Yeah. I never played any of the Need for Speed games.
Those were more race-related, but this is more like in the Burnout sense that it's a like cops and robbers,
okay.
or cops and racers, I guess, type
right.
game. And you can... There's a career for each. So really, it's two games in one.
Right. So you could be either Paul Walker or Vin Diesel.
Right.
Nice.
In the demo, you get to play as the cop. And it was a lot of fun. It was just like, what was the part in Burnout Paradise where you had to, was it takedown where you would take down the other cars? And each time you did it, you had to do that many more?
Right. I think that was it. Well, there's takedown and Marked Man. So I don't know which one you're talking about.
Takedown.
But, yeah.
Takedown. Well, this is a combination of
okay.
both.
Okay, gotcha.
You know, there's like four perps you have to go after, and you got to like take down as many of them can. But it's not the same in Burnout as where you can just like slam him into a wall and he's dead. Here they have damage bars. So
right.
you've got to like kind of chip away at them.
Yeah.
But some things being more damaging than others.
Right.
But I had fun with it. I'm looking forward to it. And it says there's 100 miles of road.
Yeah.
And it kind of looks...
Is it set up the same way as Burnout Paradise was, where it's a big... area that you drive around in without going to level and menu screens and stuff like that? Or there's still level and menu screens?
I don't know. I mean, at the beginning, like I picked from a map my level that I wanted to do, but I don't know from there if you have to go back to the map to pick another.
Right.
I would hope that you don't have to go.
Although you wouldn't want to make them too similar, I guess, because.
Yeah, but if it worked, why not keep it in?
Yeah. That's true.
I mean, because it's obvious that they took from that.
Some of that stuff I don't feel, in hindsight, I don't feel worked as well in Burnout Paradise as I initially thought it did. Because some of the modes that you could activate, like the things where you would do the timed runs and the crash, you know, mini game and stuff like that, I could never remember how to start them. And I think you had to be in a different mode to start them. You know what I mean? So I don't think those worked as well. I would like
I
there to
well,
be...
Well, that's because they packed so much in that game.
There was a ton of stuff in there.
Yeah. But I certainly see a lot of similarities, and I'm looking forward to it. I think I'm going to pick it up when it comes out. It comes out in 2 weeks.
That's cool. Anything else?
So, yes, I also downloaded the, for a limited time, free DLC for Lara Croft, Guardian of Light. There's a challenge pack.
I didn't even see that.
It's only for 360 right now.
Boom, boom, boom.
But I played the first level of it. Really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just... The same, you know, it's a lot more of the same.
Yeah, but cool.
But a little different.
Right,
yeah.
right. Did you finish the original?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I think I'm there. I think I'm like near the end. Also,
are you fighting the big guy?
Not yet. I haven't gotten it. Also, Xbox Live updated its interface this past week, and it's really cool. It's a lot more modern. You know how when they changed the avatars, it was kind of childish?
Yes.
You still have the avatars, but even they've even restyled the avatars, so they're a little not so child-looking.
You know what they should do? They should let the team that made Guild Wars, they should let them design the avatars, because those are still some of the best-looking player characters I've seen in a game. And I don't know. Maybe give people the option to have your account be an adult account or a kid account. That way you get to pick the style of your avatar. Yeah. Or maybe just do a menu of styles. So you could have
the
kid style. You could have a more realistic style. You could have an anime kind of style.
Right.
You know, you could have a cel-shaded kind of style.
That's a great idea.
It'd be really neat to be able to pick the style of your avatar too, because I don't like being locked into just whatever the base choice is on those things, because it's usually not something that to me is that compelling.
Right.
But
well, so much has changed in the style of just, you know, the base interface that they've really modernized it, and it looks a lot better.
Do you think they made it, because I haven't seen it, do you think they made it look like the whole sort of, you know, Zune Windows 7 phone thing?
Oh, perhaps.
With
maybe
different size blocks that kind of slide around and stuff like that?
Perhaps.
I mean, as far as you know, I mean, you've seen it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see a lot of similarities between the Windows phone stuff and this, but it's more blocks. And yeah, I guess.
Yeah. I'll have to take a look. I'll have to
get
the update. And I haven't turned that thing on in forever.
I know. It shows last time you were on was like 3 months ago or something.
Yeah.
One weird thing it does. I mean, there's a lot of new things they've added and I don't know all of them, but, one of my friends, I don't know if he was playing with these other people, but now rather than just showing the friend, it showed like in his little square where, you know, each friend has a square.
Yeah.
It showed these other people that weren't my friends, but I think he was playing with them.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
So, which would be kind of cool in that, like, if he's playing a game and you want to join him, you could see the other people that he's playing before you join him.
Right. That way, if you don't like one of them, you don't want to join that game.
I'm guessing that's what that is.
Yeah, maybe. That's pretty cool. I'll have to take a look at that.
Yeah. The new interface is great. Cool. I mean, it's certainly, you can tell they were trying to, like, I think when they changed the interface at first, they were trying to liken it to Wii.
Sure.
And now it looks like they're trying to veer away from it and be a little more mature and stylistic.
Which I think is a better
idea. Even the opening, you know, logo that comes on, they've redone.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's cool. You have nothing under games.
No, I didn't write it in, but I've still been playing Fallout New Vegas.
And
I've been enjoying it. Like, you know, one of my complaints with Fallout, is it Fallout 3?
Yeah.
Okay. Was that it was kind of boring and nothing ever really happened. I'm enjoying a lot of the little side quests a lot more in this. Like, I did this side quest where you go to this old rocket factory and you're supposed to clear all these ghouls out of it. I don't know if you remember, the ghouls were the people who had been mutated by the Fallout.
Okay.
And so they kind of looked like zombies, but they were still regular people in that they would still talk to you and you could have conversations with them and everything. And they just look really hideous. So anyway, you're supposed to clear them all out and then you finish another quest from another town. But then when you get there, you hear a voice over an intercom that sounds like one of the ghouls, because they all talk, you know, with this kind of raspy voice where they talk like this and they're all a little gravelly and they sound like they're kind of perpetually mad at you and stuff. But anyway, so you hear this voice over the intercom that says to make your way upstairs because they want to talk to you about something. So you fight some ghouls and some other monsters, these big guys called Nightkin, and you make your way upstairs and you meet these guys and you find out that they're all part of this sort of new agey kind of cult. And the leader, this guy Jason, has convinced everyone that they're going on this great journey. And you don't know what that is, but you have to go clear out the basement of these Nightkin, which are these big beast guys who look like the super troopers from the first game.
Okay.
And they have miniguns and they have these cloaking shields so that they're invisible. And you have to clear out the basement of those guys. And once you do that, they all put on these spacesuits and go downstairs. And when you go through the sort of sewer and underground tunnel system outside of the basement, you get to this launch pad area where you see these three old rockets from the original rocket company. And then they send you on a quest to get these parts that you need to make the rockets functional again. And then they're going to blast off and go to the great beyond. And, you know, they don't really talk about what that is much. But then you go through and do all that. And then you push the launch button and they all blast off. Now, I don't know if there's anything that happens after this, like you run into them again later or you find some evidence of the fact that the rockets crashed or whatever. Right. But it was a really cool little side quest and totally right. unrelated to the main part of the game. But it was a lot of fun and it had a really cool vibe to it. And the whole the design of the rockets and everything was that really neat sort of, you know, retro futuristic style. And
would you say the world is as big as the Fallout 3 was?
I don't think so, because I think that I've covered a lot of it already. And I wouldn't have thought that I was that far into the game.
Okay.
But I mean, I've been to probably 20 locations already.
Okay.
So I don't really know. I don't think
so. Would you say you like this game more than the last one?
Definitely.
Wow.
Definitely. Because the last one, a lot of the things that I didn't like about it are still there in terms of the fact that all your weapons are things that you find, or I don't think you can even make weapons in this.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure about that yet. If you can, I haven't gotten that far. I mean, I found these workbenches where you can break down weapons into their component parts and then take those parts and make new ammo for other weapons that you'd rather use.
Right.
So that's kind of neat, but I haven't found any place where you can get schematics to make new things.
Wow.
But even in the first one, the things you could make were never as good as stuff that you'd found. So basically, it's all you finding stuff and then repairing it to keep it in good working condition.
Right.
So that part I'm not crazy about. But some of the other things, obviously the terrain and the territory and the sky in particular, I like a lot more in this one because
you don't like the gray skies.
I don't like the gray skies. Not well, first of all, it's cliche, and second of all, it's depressing.
Right.
So, I mean, I know I'm playing a post-apocalyptic game, but
right.
you know, the whole idea should be that you're in a world that's trying to make it. And right. so I don't really need to see those clouds. I'm just saying. So yeah, I definitely like it better than
cool.
than Fallout 3 so far. So thank you again.
You don't have to thank me every time we talk about
okay,
it.
I'm just saying. Just trying to be polite. Show my appreciation.
Well, then you appreciate some of this miscellaneous.
All right, cool. There you go. Nice segue.
I love the segues.
Nice segue.
PopCap will be releasing Bejeweled 3 on December 7th.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to receiving my advanced beta copy.
Yes. The sure-to-be-addictive sequel will have a quest mode and a zen mode, among other new items, and will only be available on the PC or Mac at launch. Other platforms will soon follow.
The zen mode of all these games kind of cracks me up, because there's no time limit, there's no rules, the game never ends, you just keep playing.
Right.
Which kind of makes me think that there are a bunch of people sitting around stoned out of their gourds just playing games for like 5 hours
well,
at
I'm
time.
Sure that's what zen mode means. Ubisoft has announced that its upcoming dance game, Michael Jackson The Experience, will come with a special bonus for Wii owners. The first batch of games to be released will include a rhinestone-crusted glove.
Of course.
I put crusted.
You know, someday there's going to be a game called The Michael Jackson Experience where it'll involve force fields and, you know, holograms, and you'll get to actually be Michael Jackson and see what his life was like. Do you think that's coming someday
down the road? I'm so glad you didn't go somewhere with children, because I really thought that's where you were going.
I wasn't
going
to do that. That's way too obvious.
No,
but don't you think that you'll be able to do that someday? Act out other people's lives? Moonwalker? You guys
ever played Michael
Jackson's Moonwalker? No. Michael Jackson's Moonwalker, where you do dance moves?
You do dance moves to kill thugs.
To kill thugs? What about zombies?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I will.
DirecTV.
Yeah.
Here, has dropped G4 from its channel list due to low viewership.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know. Do you ever watch G4?
No.
I do. You know what I love? Comcast On Demand, and in their HD section, they even have it. They have all the new game trailers. I check it every couple of weeks.
G4, that was the one with the show with Olivia Munn, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I've seen a couple episodes of it, but...
They show a lot of reruns of like... But what's weird, it's a gadget video game channel, but they show a lot of reruns of like Cheaters and Cops and Heroes.
Is there a big crossover there?
I don't know.
Because I like games. I like gadgets. I don't like cheaters at all.
Oh, no.
So, I'm going to go back into the old entertainment closet here. But the thing that is weird to me about that show, and is the name of the show Attack of the Show?
Yeah.
Okay. So, the thing that's weird to me about that show, do you remember when arcade games were, when if you were talking about video games, you'd be talking about arcade games for the most part,
uh-huh.
back in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s. Do you remember there was a TV show called Starcade that was a video game competition game show?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was hosted by that guy, Jeff, what was his name? I can't remember the name of the host, but he used to host that Great Treasure Hunt show, which I used to love, which was so cool. Such a cool game show. But anyway... I'm so mad at myself that I can't remember his name. But
Jeff Edwards.
Jeff Edwards, thank you. And remember That show had a very kind of strange feel to it.
I get Jeff Edwards here, but I get
It was Jeff
Mark
Edwards.
Richards. Over
No, Jeff Edwards. Okay. Jeff Edwards. That show had kind of a weird vibe to it, and to me, Attack of the Show has that same kind of weird vibe. Like, I sort of don't feel that the hosts are as into the stuff as I wish they were.
They're too.
They're reporting on it.
They are, but they try to compensate for that by acting completely over the top about it.
Right. And
especially that Adam Kempinar,
the tall skinny guy
with the blonde hair.
Yeah,
he's so annoying to me because of that.
And the thing is that they seem like they do know what they're talking about, but they still just seem like they're reporting it rather than being into it.
Right.
And that just kind of bugs me, and that's why I don't watch it more. And plus, I mean, some of the then they do these little bits, right? Don't they send her on these crazy excursions to do like stunts and stuff? And that stuff is all right again, I guess, but. I don't know. It just has a weird vibe to it.
Oh, yeah. Jeff Edwards.
Remember him?
Yeah. You could tell that that he really knew nothing about video games.
Absolutely nothing.
It was a job. It was a job.
Well, I mean, again, he was a game show host.
Right.
So it was just a gig for him. But yeah, he used to host this show called Treasure Hunt. Do you remember that show? There was almost like a bleacher set up and on every level. So it was this tiered sort of stage.
Yeah.
And there were all these different boxes of different sizes that had, you know, prizes underneath them. And one of them had, you know, whatever, $10,000 or whatever it was that was a lot of money back in the day. And people would just go up and pick a box, and then that was their prize. And they just keep pulling people out of the audience to do that. That was a cool show.
Yeah, he did a lot of... I never heard of any of these shows he did. Shoot for the Stars, Chain Reaction. Play the Percentages, Jackpot. I don't know any of those shows.
I don't know if I've seen any of them either. But I liked him. He was a good host.
Let's see if he's still alive.
Oh, boy. Are you going to bring us sad news? I hope you're not going to bring us sad news about Jeff Edwards.
It doesn't say he's
beloved game show host Jeff Edwards. All right, so anyway, if you want to keep going.
Sony has just released a PS3 with even more hard drive space. A 320 gig version, that's even necessary, of the console is now available in stores for $349.99. Why do you need 320 gigs?
I don't know. I don't understand why they wouldn't just put a terabyte drive in there and be done with it.
Right.
Why even have different levels?
Well, no, you can change out the drives too.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
You can put whatever you want in there?
Well,
why wouldn't you just buy the cheapest one and then stick your own drive in
there? It's a little work. I know.
It's not just a door on the back that you pop it out?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. But, I mean, I see all this stuff online about how to do it and how it's not hard at all.
Right.
So, a lot of reports and some photos have surfaced on the much-rumored PSP phone that Sony has in the works.
I saw that.
The unit looks similar to the PSP Go, but with a slide-out control panel. The analog nub has been replaced with a trackpad, and the phone will run on the Android operating system.
Wow.
Yep.
It's kind of interesting.
And it will be out next year.
Wow. Oh, for sure?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Universal Studios has announced that a Van Helsing MMO is currently in the works.
I don't know about
that. That might be fun. No, I like that whole world of like monster hunting and that.
Yeah. Where's the sci-fi MMOs?
Right?
Why are there no good sci-fi MMOs?
Star Wars one coming up. That everyone's so excited about.
If only you could have seen Tony rolling his eyes when he said that. I mean, because like Tabula Rasa didn't go anywhere.
Right. What's that other one?
Well, there were Star Wars Galaxies.
No, the one just recently that bombed.
Really?
Oh,
I don't know. I mean, there are other ones. There's EVE Online, which has
a
core.
Yeah.
Well, that's not recent, and it didn't bomb.
Well, no one's talking about it. We're not talking
about different,
it.
It's a totally different kind of game.
Is it?
It's like space fleet management stuff.
Oh, is it?
I think so.
See, that's a bomb. the 90s PC classic You Don't Know Jack is coming soon for the Xbox Kinect.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad Corky's going to be getting some more work.
And finally, you know what? I don't even know why I put this story. Should I read it?
I don't know. I'm not even looking at it.
It's pathetic. Finally, a 22-year-old Jacksonville, Florida woman was arrested for shaking her 3-month-old baby to death for crying while she was playing Farmville.
No.
Yes.
Okay, that...
Why does all
that
this
is horrible.
Terrible. And I don't know why you put it
I
here.
Don't know why you put this in here either. That's the worst possible
I
thing
like
you could
I like to leave everyone
ended.
On a happy note.
What are you thinking about?
Why
she killed her baby because it was crying while she was playing Farmville?
Yeah.
That is disgusting.
if you see her mugshot, which I'll show you during the break,
okay,
kind of makes sense.
What is wrong with people? It's a
and
game.
Why does this stuff happen in Florida?
And not well.
I'm kidding.
Florida, America's cesspool.
I hope we don't have any listeners in Florida.
I'm just kidding. It's a lovely state. Disney World is there. You know how much I love Disney World.
You do love Disney World.
Did you say just call it Dizzy World?
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's because I'm accident. Dizzy.
Okay. You got anything else?
No.
Wow. Great way to end that segment. Please don't ever do that again.
Well, if I put that in the middle, it would have ruined the rest of the segment.
Give it to me for mishmash because it's better. I can just throw it in the middle in the mashup. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
If anything like that comes up again, which hopefully it never will. But anyway, that's all we got for that. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about TV. Okay, we're back and it's time to talk about television, aka TV, as the kids would call it. Do you think people are going to stop watching TV on TVs? I don't think that's going to happen.
No. No.
Because a lot of youngsters, you know, the kids these days,
right?
They like to watch on their computer screens, on their iDevices.
That's ridiculous.
On their future watches, all those kind of things. I don't want to do that. I want a big picture.
Yeah. That'll never go away.
Okay. Good.
Let's start with the event.
Yes, let's start with the event.
And let me say, finally, the event has done something that I didn't feel was a rehash from somewhere else.
Okay. And you want to talk specifically about what you're talking about?
I think
about?
We can because it was not on this week. So
and plus,
it's been
we were asked to.
So, spoiler notice. Spoiler coming
War
right
day.
Here.
Spoiler
if you're
notice.
Not caught up
Warning.
On the event.
Spoiler notice. Begin spoiler now.
This episode kind of focused on Simon.
Yes.
And it showed back in the 50s that Simon had fallen in love with an Earth human. Well, that's what she was.
Yes. What was her name? Lola?
Oh, I don't remember.
I can't remember.
And keep in mind that Simon is one of the aliens
right.
who
so
ages very slowly or maybe not at all.
Right.
We don't really know.
Just a little bit, very slowly.
And so having that kind of relationship wasn't really going to work because at some point she would realize
that he wasn't getting older.
Right.
Yeah.
What's going on here? So later in the episode, he's just like walking down the street with one of the guys he works with. And this lady is like coming out of a.
And she's an old lady now.
Right. And it's the lady he was in love with.
And she recognizes him because he looks exactly the
and
same.
And I have to say that scene was so like heart-wrenching for me because he had to pretend that like she was crazy and he
I
wasn't
know.
What she was talking about. But you could see he was fighting back the tears and emotions because he didn't want to let on to the guy he was with that it was him. Because
right. And what happened in the past, too, we should say, is that Thomas made him leave her.
Right.
Even though, and he didn't want to. He wanted to stay with her, and Thomas made him leave her because, first of all, he had, you know, alien work to do. And second of all, he didn't want to blow his cover by having him stick around long enough for her to notice that he wasn't getting older.
Right.
And then, so not only was that scene that you're talking about difficult, but then he went back to see her.
Well,
and,
I mean, that was great that he went back to see her.
In the nursing home. And,
and
tell
was
her.
Honest with her.
And didn't you love what she said? You know, he said if I could have stayed, I would have, you know, I didn't want to leave. You know, I had, you know, if it had been up to me, I would have stayed. And she said it was up to you.
Right.
And kind of gave him hell for it. Yeah. Which
that whole episode was great. It really gave me a lot more confidence in the show in that. Because, you know, my big complaint has always been that everything they've done so far has been done before.
Right.
But, you know, they're doing it well.
Yeah.
But just I want something a little new. And this was something a little new for me.
It was.
I liked and I really liked the depth of his character.
Yeah.
It was the first time they really showed some emotion, I think, on the show.
Yeah. And so he blew his own cover in the whole operation to get. Why can't I remember her name?
Sophia
to Thomas.
Right.
And then Thomas used one of his little portable black hole devices to suck a building into the ground. And so Simon blew his cover.
After they go into the hatch.
After they went into the hatch.
Which is
right.
Stolen from another show.
Technically, I believe that would be called a sewer. No, not necessarily.
I'm calling it a hatch.
All right. And there were no numbers or anything like that. But it was a pretty intense episode all around.
It was great.
And at the end of the episode, I was like, no, that can't be all. I mean, you really right. did not want it to end where it ended.
And it kind of leaves you thinking that Simon's dead, but then you see on next week in the preview for the next one, he's in it.
Oh, I didn't think he was dead.
Oh, I kind of took that.
Oh.
Because he didn't get out of the building, did he?
I don't know. He might be immune to black holes.
Ah.
He's an alien. You know, think about Superman, all the stuff he could do. Right. You don't know that these could all be Superman, for all we know.
Then why would they have stayed locked up for so long?
You know what? It's
that's
strategy.
Neither here nor there.
It's
huh?
strategy. Okay, it's strategy. It's all strategy.
You want me to talk about a little about that's yeah, the only thing we've both seen.
Yeah. Yeah. So go ahead talk, and move on to your other things.
Last week was the Rocky Horror episode of Glee.
Okay.
That's all I have to say about that. Okay. there was a great, great special on NBC this week. In fact, I think it was in place of the event.
It was.
The Women of SNL. You
right.
didn't catch it?
I did not.
Awesome.
Was it really
was
good?
Awesome, because it really it highlighted all the funny people from all the funny women from SNL all the way back to the beginning.
Right.
So but my complaint was there was no Mary Gross.
What?
Right?
Doing Mary Tyler Moore.
There was no Mary
Come
Gross.
Come on. She was awesome as Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah.
I mean, ridiculous, but.
But it was great that a lot of the people came back to do a couple little skits they did, you know. They did this, I guess it's kind of based on Bravo. Whenever Bravo had those Real Housewives shows, they have like a reunion show where they kind of like.
Right.
They always end up fighting each other. I hate them. I hate those shows. But.
You know what I hate about Bravo? Not to totally derail this conversation. Who does their promos? Why, first of all, is he talking through a tin can connected to an AM radio? And why does he have that weird speech pattern? You know what I mean? Tonight on Bravo, get together with the Real Housewives of Orange County. See what happens at the reunion. Only on Bravo.
Yeah, it's a little whiny,
it's
too.
It's like,
yeah.
What? Who does that?
Well, that's what they do. This is like one of those reunions. And it was funny for a little while, but it drags on way too long.
Yeah.
But this was a 2-hour like salute to all the women who have
sure.
been on there. And it really, you know, most of it is old sketches from, you know, all the way harkening back to the beginning. And I had forgotten about a lot of them. And some of them are so funny. And they've had some really funny women on there.
Yeah.
Some of them, though, like Jan Hooks was on. And she has not fared well.
Oh, no. Well, talk about some of the things that were on there that you had forgotten about that you really enjoyed seeing now.
Well, the Sweeney Sisters with Jan Hooks and Nora Dunn.
Okay.
I loved that. I liked some of the Gilda Radner stuff, like Lisa Lubner and Rosanna Dana. They showed some of that. They didn't show enough, though, I'm going to say again, of the era when Julia Louis-Dreyfus, though she was on, and she was on, you know, she was on now.
She was on the show, yeah.
Right, and they showed a couple skits with her, but they didn't show enough of that era with her and Mary Gross. And
that I think,
and Robin Duke.
Still,
remember Robin Duke? Yeah. She wasn't on it either.
I still think that was one of the funniest time periods, around like 84, 85, 86.
Right.
It was so funny on that show.
Yeah, they didn't really focus. They showed like one or two skits with Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and that was it. No Mary Gross, no Robin Duke. And that upset me. Molly Shannon. They did a lot, like Sally O'Malley and Mary Catherine Gallagher. But what was really cool is they showed some of the newer, like Rachel Dratch and Kristen Wiig, and they gave their favorites, like from when they were a kid, like, oh, I was totally inspired by Molly Shannon when she did this, and that's what made me want to do this. So there were nice little anecdotes and stories as well.
That's cool.
It was really, it was great. The whole 2 hours was great, and I didn't want it to end.
Yeah, I saw that, you know, they did on Saturday Night Live recently, they did that Back to the Future auditions that were similar to the Star Wars auditions.
So fun. You didn't like those?
No, I did. But, you know, so the one dude who was, I forget, the gay guy on the thing where
Bill
he was
Hader.
Talking about. Yeah, Bill Hader. So he did Alan Alda.
Uh-huh.
Who did Alan Alda years ago?
Gary Kroger.
Okay. That's right. Gary Kroger was awesome as
Alan
Alda.
Actually, the skit they showed with Julia Louis-Dreyfus was with Gary. Oh, it's when they played Donnie and Marie on the Gumby Christmas special.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
You remember, I don't even remember what the skit was, but I remember him doing Alan Alda. Oh, I see, Margaret. I thought that's what landmines were for.
I think he did a little better Alan Alda than Bill. Well, they were both good.
Yeah.
Did you catch both the skits?
No. I only saw one of them. So I still need to see the other one.
Yeah, maybe.
Because there were two, right?
If we have time. There were two. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get to see the second one.
Anyway, that was, you know, if you saw it, I don't know if they'll re-air it or if you can catch it anywhere else, but it was good. I also want to talk, I remember I was saying before I wanted to see an episode of Law & Order Los Angeles.
Yes.
Well, I went on demand and watched one, and it was entertaining. I don't know that I would watch anymore.
Yeah. I really think that you...
I think it's kind of a waste for Alfred Molina.
Okay.
I think he's a better actor than doing... I don't know. It just was, you know, I just imagine all those are going to be the same. I mean, something happens that stereotypically what happened in Los Angeles. So like a murder happens, and it like the one I saw was wrapped around some young starlet who was like caught with some other star who was married.
Okay.
And she was really giving, or her, it turns out her mother was giving this young group information as to who her daughter was with at the time so they could go rob his house.
I gotcha.
And
Now let me ask you this. Was it done in the format that I was talking about where you don't see anything having to do with the crime until the detectives learn it during the... Okay. I think that you would actually enjoy some of the original Law & Order shows from the first... I would say the first few seasons where Michael Moriarty was the DA, uh-huh. and then the first few seasons where who was
Jerry Orbach?
No, he's a cop.
Chris Noth?
No, he's a cop. The DA. Why can't I think of his name? The guy from the robot commercial on Saturday Night Live. Why I don't know why I can't think of his name.
Robot commercial.
The robot insurance commercial. Didn't you ever see that?
I don't think
it's really
so.
Funny. Sam Waterston.
Okay. With
So up through the first few seasons that he was on.
Well, you know, one of my problems
because the thing is that they weren't like New York crimes. They right. were big city crimes, and some of them were really disturbing and kind of twisted. And what was great about that show, especially in the early years, is that the drama. The character drama was really, really good.
Oh, it wasn't on this. But this
see,
was one
that
episode.
Show, the
this
LA one episode. Looks glitzy to me. Yeah. And the original Law & Order was not even remotely glitzy. Okay. I mean, it was just really, really
it was
excellent
gritty.
Drama.
It wasn't. They traded the grit for the glitz.
That you know, and if you want to put that on your jacket or your bumper sticker, feel free. But what I'm saying is that it was much more of a drama than a glitzy LA show.
Right.
You know what I mean? So the
I also am not a fan. I mean, the other star on the show, who I guess is a regular, although they show Terrence Howard in the commercials, but he wasn't on this episode. So maybe they go back and forth.
Oh, that's kind of weird.
But Skeet Ulrich was on it.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
He's sort of the poor man's Johnny Depp.
The very poor man. Like the, yeah.
The slumlord's Johnny Depp.
Like the link card Johnny Depp.
The link card Johnny Depp.
That's food stamps.
It's terrible. You know, people rely on food stamps for their food in many cases.
I know.
Yeah, there's millions of people in America who are starving. Right. I'm just saying.
Why you put that guilt on me?
Hey, you told a stupid video game story about the lady who shook her baby to death.
Yeah, but the point of that story, may I add, is because she was playing Farmville.
Yeah, I know. I still wish it hadn't been that.
I mean, it would make a little more sense if... No, I'm kidding. So at least she was playing World of Warcraft.
Oh, that happens all the time.
Now, you aren't even watching Modern Family or The Office anymore.
I mean, no.
Pretty much you've taken away all comedy from your life. But let me say, you know, the last episode of each of those was the Halloween episode.
Okay.
Both very good.
Yeah.
You know, The Office.
We'll definitely watch them.
Yeah.
We haven't watched. You know, I think we did see one or two Modern Families, but we haven't watched
But
them
I have to say, the thing that was the funniest in the Modern Family is they kept making fun of the little things that Gloria says wrong because of her, like, accent.
Yeah.
So the second half of the episode, she tries to speak without an accent.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
And she pulls it off for the most part, but there's still a slight accent. But every time she's talking, they're like, what's wrong? What are you doing? What's wrong with you? Because it looks and sounds so weird
for her to be speaking
without
that way.
The accent.
Right, right. That's really funny.
Yeah.
That's really funny. Now I'm looking forward
another
to
funny
that.
Thing. Can I tell you what happens in the episode?
Sure.
Mitchell goes, you know, Mitchell just got a new job.
Okay.
Mitchell is the skinnier one, right?
Right. Because he quit in a previous episode.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, he just started this new job. And so these two guys at work are like, hey, what do you, you know, make sure you dress up really cool for work tomorrow. He's like, oh, you guys do costumes? He's like, yeah, I'm going to dress as this. I'm going to dress as that. So he comes to work as Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But when he gets there, he realizes that the two guys who told him to dress as costume, they were dressed as costume too, but they were kind of the dorks of the office building.
Okay.
So they were the only ones dressed. And he just started this job.
Right.
And so he witnesses like the boss get mad at the two dorks for being dressed up, but he hadn't quite seen
him yet.
Yeah.
Right.
So he has a suit in his trunk. So he puts the suit over the Spider-Man, but it keeps, first of all, it's the kind that has the muscles built in
right.
and it's made of like plastic. So it makes all this noise and he's completely buff, like under the suit. It's really funny.
That is pretty funny. They were selling a lot of those costumes this year, and even for little kids. So there were all these, you know, these ripped versions of the superhero
right,
costumes.
Which, may I add, to our listener, Dorian, I saw your pictures on Facebook. He had one of those with the muscles built in, Green Lantern. And actually, it looks pretty cool. I'll show you those pictures.
Cool. Did you see you know, Jerry Vassalatos, who co-hosted with me one time when you were on vacation? Did you see his Batman pictures from Halloween? Looked awesome. Oh, I mean, he's got like a real Batman costume. Right.
Yeah, show me those when we
Yeah, pretty cool stuff. Yeah, so I haven't seen either of those shows. We did watch Chuck, of course. Great episode. This is the episode where he's trying to clear his mom's name and prove that she is not, in fact, a terrorist, but actually has
Sarah
been.
Sarah O'Connor.
Has. Did you say Sarah O'Connor?
Sarah Connor. Oh. I did say O'Connor.
Tony's favorite version. Tony's favorite Terminator was the one that took place in Ireland on St. Patrick's Day.
I love the McTerminator.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Sandra Day O'Connor, the
sure the Supreme Court Supreme judge. Court. Yeah. Exactly. You always are.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But so Sarah O'Connor, in her fight to rid the world of evil robots from the future.
I'll be back.
You bet your shillelagh. Oh, look, he took me pot of gold. I'm going to make myself hyperventilate talking like that. I can't do it anymore. I can't sustain it. So she, yes, played by Linda Hamilton, his mom is. And she turns on him and turns out that she was working for the bad guys all along and leaves him and Sarah tied up.
Spoiler warning.
But.
Spoiler warning.
Warning. Spoiler warning. But she slips Sarah a razor blade so that she can get them free of their bindings and get out before the building blows up. But the real twister.
Oh, my God.
Is that she.
There was a twister?
There was a twister. And the real twister was that we believe she has stolen the Intersect from Chuck's brain.
Oh.
Yeah. With what looked like a PSP. That had a camera on it that was pointing at the TV screen. Because remember how when you used to point the video camera at the TV, it would make that weird electronic video tunnel? It kind of looked like that. And I think she wiped out the Intersect from his brain.
Well.
Not cool.
Show's over.
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
You're still watching Hawaii Five-0, it looks like.
We are still watching Hawaii Five-0, and it's still pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
I still think there have been no actual Hawaiians on the show.
Is it actually filmed in Hawaii?
I would guess that it is.
Yeah.
It looks like it, but I don't know for sure. I haven't seen it.
Wow, Daniel Day Kim is pretty much stuck there, isn't he?
And you know what? The guy who played Dano in the original show passed away.
Really?
And there was a little memorial note to him at the beginning of the episode, which I thought was kind of nice.
That is very nice.
And we still are watching Chase. That is also a fun show.
You have to say, from the commercials, that show looks good.
Yeah, it's fun. You know, it's a very entertaining show.
But is it like suspenseful? Like you can't wait for the next one?
No.
That's a no.
No, it's episodic. It's not.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, then I wouldn't like that.
It's not.
It's a different Chase every episode?
Yeah. It's not serialized.
Come on. It's a different Chase every episode.
Yeah, it's a different fugitive or whatever. A different story every time.
I thought it was one big Chase.
No.
I don't want little Chases.
They're tiny little Chases. They're 1 hour Chases.
I don't like that.
Okay. Sorry. You won't be watching that, I guess. The other thing I want to talk about is, of course, Stargate Universe. That show just keeps getting better and better. This was a really cool episode where they find out, you know what? It was just on last night, so I don't think I'm going to give a spoiler warning or a spoiler. I'm sorry. I just can't do it.
Okay.
Some people may not have seen it yet, but it was a really good episode. And all of the mythology, all the backstory stuff just keeps getting better and better. It's a really, really strong show. And Amy and I were talking about this last night. Originally, I really felt like it was trying to be too much like Battlestar Galactica.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like that at all anymore. I really think it has its own voice, and it's very entertaining.
And it needs to be heard.
It needs to be heard, and it needs to be heard loud. And then finally, we have been watching Castle. Did I talk about that last time? I think maybe I had. One of our friends loaned us the season one DVDs because, you know, I'm a Nathan Fillion fan and had never seen the show.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say it's really good. It reminds me in a lot of ways of both The Mentalist and
Moonlighting.
Lie to Me. Not Moonlighting. Not Small Wonder. I know you're going there next. Of both The Mentalist and of Lie to Me. But what's great about it is Nathan Fillion's character is so likable on the show. Whereas on The Mentalist, I can't stand him
because
he's such a jerk.
And his eyebrows.
Well, I don't know anything about that.
I don't like his eyebrows.
Okay. I've haven't really gotten into the grooming section of the episodes, but whatever. So no, his character, Rick Castle, is such a great character because he's a little, you know, he's a little cocky because he's a famous writer and he's got a huge fan base and he, you know, has all these number one books.
This isn't just
and
a remake of Hardcastle McCormick, right?
No, it is not. Right. I hate to go here, but it's almost a remake of Murder, She Wrote. I mean, he's an author, and the pilot was him helping the cops because somebody was doing copycat murders based on his books. And so now he has the hots for this police detective.
Played by Angela Lansbury.
Played not by Angela Lansbury, played by Stana Katic, who is quite beautiful, I might say. And so he makes he's friends with the mayor and the police chief. He plays cards with them all the time. Uh-huh. So he makes a donation to the police department or something. And so the mayor orders the police chief to order her to let him tag along on all her murder investigations because she's now his muse. And now he's going to start writing a series of books based on a character that's based on her. The character's name, Nikki Heat.
How long can they really carry on that premise?
Well, so far, 3 seasons.
Ah.
So what's really great about his character is they give him, you know how we talk about how on The Office sometimes it gets to the point where Michael's just so ridiculous, but then they give him these little moments of humanity that balance it out. Mm-hmm. They do a great job, and he's already a likable guy, but they do a great job of writing in these little moments like that that make him even that much better. Like there was an episode where his first ex-wife comes back to New York from LA and she's thinking about moving there and he does not want her to move there and his daughter doesn't want her to move back either. And so at the end, she ends up not staying because she got a job offer to work on a movie back in L.A. And then you find out that he arranged that to happen.
Right.
But which is kind of a cliched kind of scenario. But when he's talking to his mom and his daughter, his mother lives with him, too. He was talking to his mom and his daughter about the fact that he made some phone calls to get her this job. They applaud him for getting rid of her. But he throws out this comment and he says, well, actually, she's perfect for the part, so really I was doing them a favor. And, you know, they didn't have to put that in there, but it really made his character that much more likable and that much more of a decent guy. Because he really is. I mean, he's not a jerk at all. But that show is really a lot of fun. I really enjoy it. And, the first season was only 10 episodes, which was kind of a drag because I think it was a mid-season replacement for another show when it first started. But, yeah, really good show. I definitely recommend it if you like, especially if you're a Nathan Fillion fan. He's great on it. So, and I believe that is the last of the shows I would like to talk about. We're still trying to watch House Hunters International, but I think we've seen all the ones that they've shown recently.
Where are you on Top Chef Just Desserts?
I think we are.
Did you see the Restaurant Wars?
No. We're one behind then.
All right, I'll wait then.
Yeah. So the last one we saw was the one called Black and White, where they had to do the black and white desserts. I mean, come on. How hard is it?
If your rule is only use black or white, don't use red.
Yeah, don't use red. How about that? Right. And the girl who...
And then don't be like, well, I think the flavors are going to be enough that they'll forgive the red.
No.
How about just don't use the red?
How about just don't use it? Right. Since they told you not to. And even when they came to visit, while they're in the middle of them making their stuff, they're like, well, it's supposed to be just black and white.
Right.
And they're like, well, I think it'll be all right. No, it won't, because we said just use black and white. Who was that judge who was one of the guest judge, the girl who had like the 1960s pigtails? She was cracking me up.
Right.
That was so funny. I don't know who she was, but she was funny.
You ready for some, you know what else is funny?
It's miscellaneous TV news? That was the worst segue ever.
That was a bad one, yeah. Well, I'm still working out the kinks.
You can't be 100% all the time.
No.
All right, move on.
ABC has given the green light to a new Charlie's Angels series for sometime next year.
Didn't they already try that? Didn't they already try
movies?
But didn't they do a new series for a while?
Charlie's Angels?
Did they not do that?
No.
Oh, okay.
No news yet on casting, but it has been announced that one angel will be African-American, one will be Caucasian, and one will be Latino.
Okay, I swear we've either talked about this before or they did this before. I'm pretty sure we talked about this before.
I don't remember talking about this.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Or maybe it was that somebody had already done this and it got greenlit and then it got red lit or no lit. And now this is a different
one. Well, they say they
haven't
cast it yet.
Because I swear we talked about this and even talked about who might be playing the characters.
I think you're thinking of Cagney and Lacey.
I might be thinking of the Fantanas.
Nikita has been picked up for a full first season.
You know, that show's getting better.
Yeah.
And as much as you can keep what's his name out of it, it's that much better every episode. Last episode was pretty good. What's his name? Wes something?
Wes Craven?
No.
Wes Bentley?
No. Forget it. Just move on.
A new reality show. Oh, you'll like this. A new reality show entitled The Same Name is currently in the works for CBS. The show will feature celebrities swapping places with people who share their same name.
That makes no sense. I could see if it was lookalike and you found someone who looked like the person. But
is that not the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard?
So are Michael Keaton and Michael Douglas going to trade places?
They don't have the same name.
Michael Keaton's real name is Michael Douglas.
Oh, well, I'm not going to, no. Michael Douglas is very sick right now, and that is just.
Is he?
Come on. You know, we're doing an entertainment podcast.
Yeah. What's he got? What's he got?
Lung cancer?
Ooh.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's really sick.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, like, don't even make jokes, sick. Until they're dead.
You're morbid today. What is going on with you? You know Halloween's over, right?
Cara Diaguarde has signed on to be the head judge for a songwriting competition show on Bravo.
Nice.
It actually sounds kind of cool. Every episode will be a different challenge. So it'll be like, oh, now write a pop song or now write a song about this. Or
that is kind of cool.
It is kind of cool. Yeah.
Now, did they also have to perform them or will other people perform those songs?
That's a good question.
Because
I
could probably come up with a song. I mean, come on, I couldn't come up with a song. My 2-year-old's coming up with songs all the time. But
Mambo and Poo Poo is his current hit.
I want to see mommy. I want to see mommy. That's a good song right there.
Rumors are swirling that Mariah Carey may be a judge on Simon Cowell's much anticipated X Factor. But I also heard that she is pregnant, so I'm sure that they will.
With Nick Cannon's baby?
I would assume so.
Since they're married.
They are, in fact, married.
I still can't believe she's like 15 years older than him.
Yeah.
Something like that.
She's our age, I believe.
Yeah.
Or just slightly younger.
Yeah.
Finally, sci-fi has canceled.
She
going to
name the baby Glitter?
I wouldn't put it past her.
Glitter Cannon?
Because she's really loca.
Yeah, she is loca.
Sci-fi has canceled Caprica, but is currently in
the
work. Oh, you didn't know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, sorry.
I watched
an episode of that not too long ago. Like, I just...
Yeah.
Turned it and one had just started. And it's entertaining.
Yeah.
Although I like Eric Stoltz and Isai Morales.
Yeah. They're both good actors.
Yeah.
You know, the problem is when you're doing a sci-fi show like that, you really want to see some sci-fi stuff going on.
Oh, there's nothing?
Well, I don't know. I mean, when the pilot.
Yeah, there wasn't much in the episode I saw.
The pilot was about a kid who was inventing the Cylons, right. Basically. I mean, it's like, I don't want to see that.
Well, don't feel
it's like
sad.
Cylon babies.
Don't feel sad, because sci-fi is currently in the works to adapt the web series Battlestar Galactica Blood and Chrome as a full series for the network. The new show will focus on a young William Adama during the first Cylon War.
Aha. Now, that could be good. You got space battles, robot battles.
Right.
William Adama,
mm-hmm.
a.k.a. Bill.
And then you've got the Cyclone War.
Cylon, not Cyclone.
I know.
Big difference there, actually.
Yeah.
I also want to mention we turned off whatever we were watching one night and our tuner was on BBC America.
Uh-huh.
And it was on an episode of Top Gear, and it happened to be an episode that they do a segment on Top Gear called Star in a Reasonably Priced Car, where they have a car for, I don't know how they pick the length of time they have it, but then every episode they have some celebrity come on and drive the car around the same racetrack that they use to test all their cars. So it's something, it's always like a goofy little car, like a, you know, Toyota Corolla or a Nissan Versa or something. It's not a fancy car, a luxury car, or a sports car or anything like that. It's just a basic transportation kind of car. And then they keep track of everyone's times and they put them up on this board so that the celebrity can see how they did against all the other people who have driven it. So in this particular episode, it was Tom Cruise and Cameron Diaz who were on promoting
Night and Day.
Night and Day. Thank you. And so they each took a turn in the car, and Cameron Diaz was really excited because her time was faster than anyone else who had raced so far.
Wow.
And then Tom Cruise beat her by 0.3 seconds.
Wow.
So she was kind of bummed, but it was pretty cool. I mean, she drove really well, and man, she is a truck driver mouth, that woman. They bleeped out like 50% of everything she said while she was driving. And then Tom Cruise, during his run, right around the last turn before the finish line, he went off the road a little bit on the inside and hit the, you know, then hit the pavement again, coming back out from off the grass. And the car went up on 2 wheels and almost like flipped over, and then he got it back down again to cross the finish line.
Wow.
It was pretty scary though, but it was really cool. It was one of the better segments of that. Of Star in a Reasonably Priced Car that I've seen on that show. And I like that show anyway. But what was so interesting is that she seems like, whenever you see her in a movie, like that's pretty much who she is.
Right.
She seems like that person.
Right.
Tom Cruise seems so disingenuous in everything he says and does. Like he's some weird kind of robot or something.
Yeah, well, yeah, he is.
I mean.
Do you know who she's dating now?
I do not.
Shu from Glee.
Really?
Yeah.
Seems like an unlikely pair.
You would think so at first, but then it makes sense because remember Justin Timberlake broke her heart and he is kind of like a poorer man's Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, I actually thought he was gay, that guy.
I could see that, but all the reports are that they're dating.
Wow. Well, they're both tall, so there you go.
Is he tall?
He seems tall. Doesn't he seem
tall? He doesn't seem that tall to me.
Oh.
I want to mention, I'm going to go back for a minute because I didn't mention this when I was talking about the game. I want to say something else that I forgot to say about Need for Speed Hot Pursuit.
Okay.
One really cool thing about that game, unlike the Burnout games, is all the cars you're driving are real cars.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah.
And are some of them cars that have not been released yet, or you probably wouldn't know?
They only showed like two cars in the demo.
So. Oh, okay. Well, do you remember what they were?
One was a Ford something and the other was
Ford Focus RT?
No, I don't remember what they were, but they were real. I mean,
was it like a super cool sports car looking thing?
One of them was not. One of them was like that
little,
car.
Little hatchback.
But in the they show a little trailer at the beginning, in the demo, I'm sure, not in the real game, and they show like a Lamborghini police car.
Yeah.
So that'll be really cool to like.
Yeah,
that's
cool.
One thing that always like kind of bumps me out, and I think Need for Speed always used real cars.
I think you're right,
but that's one thing that always kind of bumps me out in the GTA games and the Burnout games is that, you know, the cars are always kind of like takes on other cars.
Right. Although I feel like Criterion did a pretty nice job especially in Burnout Paradise, of making them so that you could really tell what they were inspired by,
right,
and putting a few different kind of cars together to come up with what they came up with. I mean, they were usually pretty decent designs, but it is much cooler having a real car.
Right.
That's pretty neat. Maybe I'll get that too. Because I haven't played, you know, I haven't played my 360 in a while, and I haven't played any driving games in a while. So that might be kind of fun.
And like I said, I'm going to get this for the 360 because driving games are, because of that controller, they're just not comfortable on the PS3.
Oh, okay. You know, I'm going to go back to video games for a second too, and just say that one of the things that I like about Fallout New Vegas 2 is I really feel like I can go in and just play for a few minutes and then save and leave.
Oh, that's
whereas
good.
In a game like
Fallout 3.
No, what was the other one that you recommended that I have that I haven't played much of?
Batman?
No, it was another role-playing kind of post-apocalyptic thing.
Borderlands.
I didn't feel like
you
I could do
that. At all?
No, because I felt the quests were too drawn out and too spread out that I wouldn't have time necessarily to go do a quest and save and finish.
Oh, you know, that's because near the beginning you can't really jump around. Like you can't.
Oh, okay.
Like transport to another area.
Right, because you haven't uncovered stuff. You mean?
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Fallout New Vegas is the same way, but maybe that speaks to the smallness of the whole world.
Right.
In the game, I don't know, because I
think I'm gonna check that out.
Yeah, it's Fallout pretty. I definitely think it's better than Fallout 3, so far anyway. I just hope things like with the whole thing I was talking about before with the ghouls and going on their great journey. I hope that something happens after that.
Right.
That there's some reference to it later.
Because then it seems like it matters more.
Well, and that you're actually having an effect on what's going on
right.
in the world. Which is
that's all you ever want is
right.
Just
that's
to have
all
effect
I ever want is
in this world.
Right. To leave my mark.
Yeah.
All right. Are we done with TV?
Yes.
All right, good. We're gonna take
actually,
a quick
we were
break.
Done with TV about 10 minutes ago.
We're gonna take a quick break. And when we come back, we're gonna talk about movies. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about movies. What have you seen?
I saw something a few years old. I think a few. I don't even know what year it came out.
Yeah, a few, 2 or 3 years old, at least.
But at your recommendation,
yes,
I saw The Prestige.
Yes, excellent film.
Excellent film.
Yep.
In fact, I have to say, of his films, Christopher Nolan, I'm speaking of.
Yeah.
I liked it better than Inception.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely liked it better than Inception. I didn't feel Inception was very original in a lot of ways. I mean, visually, it was pretty neat.
They stretched the whole how many levels of dream.
Yeah, I didn't really find, I don't know. I mean, you know, I really enjoyed it while I was watching it, but I kind of forgot about it pretty quickly afterwards.
Right.
And The Prestige...
It's a gimmick movie.
It is.
Like, there's a gimmick in it and not a lot of story, to be honest. It's just all right. wrapped around this gimmick.
Exactly.
Whereas this was a fantastic story.
And it that movie really, The Prestige really stayed with me after I saw
yeah.
it.
Yeah. In fact, yeah. right when it's over, and I'm not saying this because this is the Rolling Stone review that's written on the back of the box, but really, no, this is what it says. When you're done watching it, you really want to watch it all over again.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. Do you want to talk about anything specific about it?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, if anyone hasn't seen it, see it.
Yes.
I'm not going to ruin anything about it. There are, like, surprises left and right in there, but not like one of these, you know, M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong movies.
Which I feel like Inception almost was,
right,
in a way.
Right.
Because of the ending of that movie.
This wasn't one where, you know, you're waiting for the big payoff at the end.
Right.
But there is a little payoff at the end.
There's a pretty big payoff at the end.
Yeah.
But it's not a punchline movie.
Right. Right. And it's really a great study of like two different people's personalities and how much they change over things that happen to them.
Right.
Without ruining anything.
Yeah.
But the acting is great. My one complaint, I don't dislike Scarlett Johansson.
Scar Jo,
but I think they could have cast someone better than her in this role.
I don't remember not liking her in it, but I kind of actively like her anyway. You know
right.
what I mean?
But Hugh Jackman was great. Christian Bale's great. David Bowie was great. I liked it. What?
Michael, what's his name?
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine, thank yeah. you.
Michael Caine playing the same role
that he plays in everything.
Alfred. Yeah, yeah, he pretty much was Alfred.
I mean, he really kind of is always the same. I mean, right. he's a little different here and there, but he's just good. He's just a good actor, you know.
Right.
He does.
He's definitely much better in this than he was in Jaws for the Revenge.
Right. Was that after it had become personal?
That's Jaws when 3. It became personal. Can you believe he's even in that movie?
You know, everyone needs a paycheck. You know what I'm saying? And he was. Wasn't he, didn't he have maybe not a dry spell, but in terms of American movies, you know, he's come and gone. I mean, he's kind of in stuff all the time these days, right. but for a while, I don't remember.
You know what I thought was great in this movie was Piper Perabo.
Yeah, and she's not usually that interesting.
No, but she was great in this.
In fact, in the event, I think that Sarah Romer, you know, who plays Layla, I think is kind of a better actress version of Piper Perabo.
Right.
And yeah, Piper Perabo was actually pretty good in that.
Yeah.
You know, I can understand that she had to bring out all her acting chops to follow up Coyote Ugly.
Right.
But I think she did it. I think she managed.
No, I just love this movie. I mean, it's
a great movie.
One of my favorites.
And again, there were two magic movies that came out at the same time, that and The Illusionist. And The Illusionist was frustrating and ultimately kind of dopey by comparison.
Someone told me though that that if I enjoyed this, I will enjoy that as well.
You should not be friends with that person anymore. Well, let's put it this way: the explanation for how and why everything happened in The Illusionist was so terrible that in my mind it almost ruins the entire film.
Really?
Yes. Whereas conversely, in The Prestige, it was so cool when you find out how things were done and how things happened.
Right.
There's so much cool stuff in The Prestige right. that is just really neat and clever and also just kind of fantastical in some ways, you know.
Yeah.
So it was definitely the
Well, that's one thing I love about The Prestige, and I won't give anything away here, but there is some sort of supernatural element in it.
Mm-hmm.
Or magical element, if you will.
Or sci-fi.
Sure.
It could go, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever your point of view is. So you liked it. So
big
that's
thumbs
good.
Up.
Yeah, yep. Big thumbs up. We watched another movie that is not brand new. We on demand on the old DirecTV. I forgot to do my DirecTV rant. Well, I'll save it for later. We watched Jonah Hex because it was one of the few things that we hadn't seen that was available on demand on DirecTV.
Did you pay for this?
We did pay for this. We paid $5.99.
Wow.
Which is a lot less than we would have paid. No, it was actually all right. You know, Josh Brolin was pretty good in it. And I have to say, even Megan Fox was not completely irritating.
Come on.
And she was, you know, it takes place in the Old West.
Uh-huh.
So
now, this is a comic book movie, isn't it?
It is a comic book adaptation. DC Comics made the movie. And he plays a guy, a gunslinger, if you will. I don't remember. I think he was a military man and had a disagreement with one of his superior officers and killed his son. And so the officer turned on him and came and tied him to a post and made him watch as he burned down his house with his wife and kid inside.
Wow.
So, and then he branded his face with a branding iron. So in the story, in the backstory that you see later on, you see that he, and they thought he was dead, but he was nursed back to health by some Crow Indians. And to remove the foul stench of that entire experience from his self, he takes a burning hot hatchet and carves the brand off of his face. So he's left with half of his face being all scarred and mutilated, and like his mouth is all messed up, and he's got.
So
like,
it's a family film.
Yeah, it's a good. It's the feel good, you know, Cowboys and Indians movie of the year.
You've
really
been waiting for it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and Megan Fox's character is a prostitute who likes him, and he likes her.
With a heart of gold, she have a heart of gold.
She did kind of have a heart of gold, yeah. and a six shooter. And so actually, it was a one shooter, but she was, of course, because it's the Old West, was made to look like she was not wearing makeup and stuff like that. She was made to look just like a dirty person in the Old West. And I have to say, she looked a lot better that way. And she wasn't really annoying. Her part was really small. I mean, if she was in the movie for more than about 10 minutes, I'd be surprised. So it was kind of weird that she was billed as high as she was.
Well,
John Malkovich was the bad guy, and he was in the movie a lot more than she was. So anyway, but it was entertaining. It was not a great film, but it wasn't terrible either. It was all right. You know, it was just all right. It was a fine way to spend an hour and a half that we didn't have anything else going on.
Right.
But that's about all I'd give it.
So it's better than Pins in the Eyes.
Better than Pins in the Eyes. It was better than Skullhead Motorcycle Rider, whatever that movie was.
Ghost Rider.
Yeah, Ghost Rider. Yeah. It was way better than that.
Why would you pick that? Is that similar?
Well, because that's universally regarded as a pretty terrible comic book movie, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's my six-year-old niece's favorite movie. So.
Well, there's something wrong with her.
There really is.
On many levels, if that's her favorite movie. And it was better. Like, I enjoyed it more than the Hulk movies.
Yeah.
Even the second one, which I just thought was all right.
Right.
So it was okay. I'm not a huge Western fan. So it's kind of a tough sell for me anyway.
Right. You're not a huge Western fan. Are you a big movie miscellaneous fan?
I am. Would you like to?
I have
again,
to just think for
another
you.
Terrible segue. You can't segue about the topic in general, about the segment in general. You have to segue to the topic of the first item.
Oh, that's how. Oh, I don't like to do that.
Well, that's what you usually do. The ones that work well is when whatever you're saying is the segue.
Oh, that's when I'm going from one item to another, but when I'm going
No.
Yeah, I've always just done that from one item.
Okay, you know what? You're going to have to go back into the airtight vault and listen to some of the old shows, some of the classics.
Speaking of classics, another classic fairy tale is making a modern movie to the big screen.
That's what I'm talking about right there.
I'm sorry, modern move to the big screen. A stylized version of Snow White is currently in development with the Cell director, Tarsem Singh, attached to direct.
Okay, so who is that?
Tarsem Singh. That's. Hold on, let me find. I don't think you'd know anything else he did. Did you ever see the movie The Cell with?
Cell.
Yeah, with Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, yeah. He did
Vince
that.
Vince Vaughn. Yeah.
Vince Vaughn was in that.
Yeah.
I don't even remember
he was
that.
The male lead.
Boy, I don't even remember that.
And Vincent D'Onofrio.
I just remember that J Lo was in it, and I remember the horse. That's pretty much all I remember from that movie.
Yeah, that's not a great movie.
It's not. But, it was really disappointing.
But the stylized nature of it I thought was really cool.
You know, and in many ways, that's kind of how Inception is. In hindsight, it was a lot of, you know, a lot of sizzle, not enough substance. Although Inception was definitely a better movie than The Cell.
He also did The Fall.
I don't know that.
Let's see who's in that.
But anyway, so what's he redoing? He's redoing
Snow White.
Wow. Yeah. And is it going to be stylized live action or stylized animation?
Live action.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. So
there's no one in The Fall that we know. So I don't know. It doesn't even look like it was American. The J.J. Abrams Steven Spielberg project Super 8 will be released June 10th, 2011.
Wow.
Yeah.
Big summer movie.
And sooner than we thought.
Nice.
You think?
Yeah, I don't think I would have expected it that fast.
Charlize Theron is said to be a strong contender as the female lead in the next Batman film.
Ooh, I like Charlize Theron. Is it Theron or Theron? I never know how to pronounce her last name.
This time it's Theron. Next time it'll be Theron.
And then it'll be Theron.
It was only a matter of time for this next one. Redbox is planning on throwing its hat into the digital distribution ring next year.
What? In what way do we know?
Well, watching, downloading movies.
Okay.
Off the web.
All right. So there you go.
Do they really think that they're going to compete?
Depends on what they offer and for how much and how it's done, I suppose.
There are talks that a Broadway musical based on The Goonies is currently in the works.
Okay. That's just ridiculous. Isn't it? Isn't that just ridiculous? Okay. I wonder who would play Chunk.
I don't know. The fourth Mission Impossible film, which is currently in production, will be titled Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol.
Now, okay, I literally just heard Snickers from the other room, and I'm not talking about the candy bar.
That's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
I mean, just make it Mission Impossible MI4.
MI4. Well, you don't want to get confused with MI6, because then people start going, what is this, James Bond? What's going on here? But now, is Nicolas Cage going to be in that? Because any movie that has action and has the word ghost in it, I'm pretty sure he has to be in because of Ghost Rider, contractually.
All right. Yeah. Well, it can't be Patrick Swayze. Oh, my God. This is the most morbid.
Seriously. You are on the worst kind of role today.
Brendan just said too soon.
I agree. Patrick Swayze, you know, he's beloved by millions.
Yeah.
Nobody, you know, nary a bad thing to say about the man. Right? Well, have you ever heard anything bad about him?
I've seen Roadhouse.
As a person, I mean.
Ah.
I mean,
no.
Seriously, have you ever heard anything bad about him?
No.
So, you know, maybe.
And I like him. Yeah. I was a big fan. Yeah. There have been rumored sightings of Hugh Jackman on the set of X-Men First Class. So,
well, that's promising.
Yeah, but what doesn't make sense to me is...
Well, because he doesn't age the same as us, right?
Oh, really? Yeah.
Because of the...
You're right.
Because of his thing, his power.
But if they're showing like Magneto and Dr. Xavier when they were younger, you mean to tell me that he was like, I don't know.
Looked the same?
I'm sure they've considered all this.
Hopefully. Hopefully.
Here, these two are you.
Okay, MGM has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection, naming Gary Barber and Roger Birnbaum from Spyglass Entertainment as co-CEOs for now. No word yet on what exactly will happen or next, or how this will affect the Bond franchise, which is really, between Bond and Stargate, those are really the only two things I'm super concerned about right now that MGM has anything to do with.
Do you have the original Stargate on Blu-ray?
I do.
Because it's on sale right now at Best Buy for like $8.
Oh, okay. I actually kind of prefer the theatrical version over the special edition that has some extra stuff, because the special edition added this whole scene at the beginning where you see the aliens right at the beginning. And I don't...
You know, no, you don't like that. You like a reveal.
Yeah. No. Kind of ruins the reveal later, I think. Yeah. And plus the theatrical version's beginning was pretty classic. It was a great beginning of the movie. So I didn't really see the point for that. George Lucas finally is apparently going to start working on 3 new Star Wars sequels that won't have anything to do with the Skywalker family. I don't know why he feels the need to do this.
He's crazy.
He is crazy. The man is crazy. Work isn't slated to begin until after 100 episodes of the live-action Star Wars TV show are in the can, because apparently that's the number of episodes you need for syndication. So they want to get all that stuff done. So basically right now he's just making stuff up just to fill 100 episodes.
I heard he was going to start working on it after they had 3D-ized all the 6 original films.
I think you may have misread that, because I believe I read the same story that you did, because I think you sent me the link.
Yeah.
And I think basically the way it was worded was, you know, now that George Lucas is doing these 3D versions of these movies, he's thinking about, you know what I'm saying. But I still don't know much about the live-action TV show. I mean, when is that happening? When are we going to see that?
I don't know. And this is not the one that Seth Green is doing, right?
I don't know anything about anything. Okay. I don't know anything. I don't know what Seth Green is doing. I haven't talked to him in forever.
Yeah, he's doing his own.
Literally. How can he do that? He knows somebody else owns the rights to that stuff, right?
Actually, no. He got the permission.
Oh, yeah. that was a good move on his part. He must have talked to a lawyer. But I mean,
thank God this is the last miscellaneous item here.
But I don't understand when that show is going to be on, and as far as these sequels goes, why wouldn't he have them have anything to do with the Skywalker family?
Well, then they're not really sequels; they're just stories set in that world.
Right. Right. That take place chronologically after Jedi.
Right.
So for all we know, this could be the story of, you know, Bobo the Ewok.
Right.
Do we want that?
No.
Maybe it's the story of how Jabba and his wife got together. Mrs. the Hutt. You know?
Yeah.
Maybe. Or
we can't speculate what goes on.
Or the compelling story of coming up with the lyrics for the classic song Lopty Neck.
I also read that they were
I was cut off.
That
right
they were talking about, well, because you're just I don't know. That they're talking about making, releasing 3D versions of Indiana Jones.
Why do we need to see that in 3D?
But then someone came out from Lucasfilm and says that is not true.
Okay.
So.
I don't know why we would need to see that. I don't need to see that.
I'd love to see the first one in 3D.
Really?
Yeah.
Star Wars makes more sense to me because there's stuff flying all over the place. In Raiders of the Lost Ark, it's not as much that kind of movie, I don't think. I don't know. Whatever.
That first scene would be great in 3D.
Yeah, the first scene would be great in 3D. That first scene is challenging to watch as an experienced film watcher, only from the standpoint that some of the lensing used, especially when he's being chased by the natives, makes it appear that they're right behind him. And so you can't imagine that these people who feed themselves by hunting are missing this dude
right.
running through the
Who's
woods
much slower than any animal that they're chasing
right much after. Slower right. than any animal and is not familiar with the territory like they are since right. they live there. So it's I think that maybe some of those choices were not great, but it's still one of the best movies ever made. I'm just saying. I think that's all we got for miscellaneous. You got anything else?
Nope.
All right, cool. We're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we're gonna talk about everything else. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about everything else in the old mashup.
Moosh, moosh.
I just want to say that Tony was just preoccupied moosh, with something on his moosh. On his MacBook Pro that he brought with him, which, by the way, he's using a keyboard condom on. Now, why did you get that?
Because the keyboard easily like attracts grease.
And I would assume grime.
Yeah.
Because they go hand in hand.
Right. So for just $35, you can get yourself a nice little piece of
$35. Did it come
keys.
In a box at least?
Huh?
Did the product come in a box?
Yes.
Or was it just like hanging on a peg?
Well, you know, wait, I'm going to pull it off to show you.
Because
it's not just a piece of rubber. It's got the keys on it.
It's a printed piece of rubber.
Right, exactly. And indented.
Yes. Form fitting.
It is.
Anyway, that's a total ripoff. That thing probably costs like $1 to make. I'm just saying. Why doesn't somebody just make products for, you know, Apple accessories that are not a complete ripoff? Please, somebody, step up.
I don't think they're allowed to.
That's great. All right, so the whole first half of the Moosh Moosh today is like the mad scientist edition of the mashup.
Oh,
so much wacky science going on. You're not going to believe some of this stuff. Okay. So the first one is interesting, but it's not too wacky. Researchers at the Munich Institute of Technology have created a tiny robotic camera that can look around like a human eye. In fact, it works so well that it can actually move faster than the human eye. I'm going to post a link to the video. It is so amazing how fast this thing can look around. It's really cool. Then some mad scientists at Johns Hopkins University have discovered a way to target specific proteins in a part of the brain in such a way as to permanently remove memories related to fear. The test has so far only been done on mice, and it seems to only work within the first couple of days after a traumatic event. But they were actually, what they did was they made this noise that startled the mice, and then they got to a point where the mice were automatically startled based on certain types of sounds. And then they used this protein to target this part of the brain, and the mice basically reset as if they had never had those experiences before, which is really pretty cool. So it's kind of like what they did in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Right.
Very bizarre. A company called Laser Motive has demoed a quadricopter that stayed hovering for 12 hours, powered only by lasers beamed to it from the ground. So it has no internal fuel source or engine in that capacity. It's got no internal power supply. Instead, it uses photovoltaic cells on its bottom side, which take the laser energy beam to it and turn it into electricity that powers its motors. And they're saying that the technology could someday be used to keep military drones aloft for long periods of time without using onboard fuel of any type. So all they do is point a laser at it, and that's its power source. How cool is that? I wish I was powered by lasers.
What if something interfered with the beam? Then it falls?
Yeah, and then it would fall down. I would assume it could store the power somehow. So
I would hope.
There was a brief introduction or somebody walking by with like a pocket mirror.
Right.
It wouldn't crash the multi-million dollar drone. Okay. At the Wake Forest Institute of Regenerative Medicine, researchers have figured out a way to print new skin for accident or burn victims using a process not dissimilar to how an inkjet printer works. One of the primary intended applications is to treat wounded soldiers on the field. So they actually just like
imagine print. How much that toner
and it's
costs.
It's still that's a good one. It still needs to heal, but at least they've got, you know, replacement skin rather than this horrible flesh wound.
Can you just store that skin on a flash drive and use it later?
I'm not even going to acknowledge that ridiculous remark. This is the weirdest one. A scientist named John Vandenbroeks at Arizona State University has, with his team, bred a dragonfly with a 2-foot wingspan by changing the oxygen saturation in the breeding environment to 31%. Our normal level is about 20%. The higher level more closely represents the oxygen level millions of years ago when dragonflies grew that big naturally. And now they're saying they think they can make all sorts of insects like giant-sized. Is this really something we want?
Right.
Do we want this? I mean,
is there a picture?
Well, there is a picture, but it's a faked picture.
Oh,
it's a picture that was done just to illustrate the size of the dragonfly. But you would think that if they actually did this, that they would have taken a picture of it, don't you think?
Yeah.
So I think we got to try to track that down. A 2-foot dragonfly, that's insane. I don't want those flying around. No. I'll be perfectly honest. And the thing is, I don't know. It didn't say anything about whether or not they could survive outside of that environment once they were already born. So I don't know what the deal is with that. All right. So then on to other news. The first iPhone 5 rumors are hitting. This one saying that the next version of the phone may incorporate near field communication for things like electronic wallet usage, or more probably to enable super easy sync with a nearby computer that also has NFC running. Here's a crazy idea, Apple. Why don't you just let the thing sync over Wi-Fi? How about that? I know that's crazy, but why don't you just do that? And speaking of the iPhone, the white iPhone 4 has been delayed again. Were you sad that you couldn't get a white one?
No.
Okay. Not even a little?
Nope.
Okay. The Nook Color is available for $250. It's got a 7-inch color touchscreen, 8 gigs of RAM, a memory card expansion slot, Wi-Fi, and more. And it's got a weird little cutout on one side so that it's got like this little loop thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're supposed to like hook it to your belt buckle or...
It's the Nook Notch.
You just made that up, didn't you? The Nook Notch. They might steal that now, though. I'm pretty sure they're listening.
It's freebie.
There's a new pair of gloves on the market. See, you'll like this one. There's a new pair of gloves on the market called A-Gloves that'll let you keep your hands warm in cold weather and still use your touchscreen devices. Don't you think it's kind of about time?
Actually, they came out with something like that last year.
Is it only $18 a pair?
I believe so.
Really?
Yeah.
Is this old news that I'm reporting?
Yep.
No, it's not.
I swear to you. They had
really?
This last year. Yeah.
Are you sure? Because before, I saw the gloves that had fingers cut out. These actually transmit your...
This has a little thing on the tip of each finger.
There's no thing. It's just regular gloves, but the touchscreen part
works.
Well,
that's unheard of.
That's why it's new. There you go.
Well, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
And at only $18 for a pair plus shipping, they're only a fraction of the cost of a stupid iPhone case. Isn't that ridiculous? You get a whole pair of gloves that transmits human energy to your touchscreen for less than the cost of a stupid piece of plastic that goes around your phone. Apple sucks. Now that Russian authorities started cracking down on spam kingpin Igor Gusev's spamit.com operation, the volume of email sent around the world globally has dropped by 1/5. Can you believe that? This one guy's stupid spam operation was responsible for 20% of all email going around.
It's a lot of spam.
That is a lot of spam.
It's a lot of spam.
A lot of spam.
That's spam a lot.
That's spam-tastic. Verizon is testing a new internet system called XGPON 2 that's 200 times faster than their XGPON Fios system. It's 10 gigabits, which is 10 times faster than most people's wired networks at home and in offices. That is so freaking fast. I think they should call it XGPON 2 instead of Fios. And it sounds more futuristic, don't you think?
Yeah.
I like that. Microsoft has hinted that Windows 8 may hit in 2012.
That's not what you have written here.
I know. That was a typo. Audi's electric e-tron car will have artificial sound when driving at about 15 miles per hour or slower so that people nearby will hear the car and hopefully not get run over. Because, you know, if you got an all-electric car, it doesn't make any noise, really, mm-hmm. until it starts going fast and the road noise and, you know, wind noise starts making some actual sound. Because that'd be pretty embarrassing to get run over by an electric car just because you didn't hear it. Don't you think?
Yes, I do.
As usual, Tony has tuned out.
They actually did the same thing for the Prius.
The Prius is not an all-electric car.
But it's
It has a gas engine in it.
I know, but it was so quiet that they had to add artificial sound to the new models.
I think you just made that up.
No, actually, I think you reported on that one week.
Well,
you did actually.
Maybe I made it up then. I don't know.
You did.
No, but they've been talking about doing this for all electric cars, because for any car that's too quiet, because people don't hear it coming.
Right.
And then you're screwed. It's not like getting run over by a bicycle.
Right.
That's kind of funny, because the guy on the bike always falls off, and if you're videotaping it, it's hilarious.
Uh-huh.
If you were thinking about climbing Mount Everest but decided against it because you would have no way to update your Facebook or Twitter accounts from there, it's time to reconsider. Nepali mobile network operator Ncell has a 3G base station up and running that reaches the top of Mount Everest. So there you go. No baby killing stories at the end of this segment, ladies and gentlemen.
Not yet. I haven't had my worst entertainment moment of the week.
Oh, no. Which, as always, brings us to the time of the episode when we reveal our votes.
Throw those segues out there.
Yeah, just left and right. Our votes for the best and worst entertainment moments of the week. Tony, please give us your worst.
I don't have a worst. I'm trying to come up with one.
Oh,
I don't have
no.
one.
Well, you got to come up with one. You come
I'm
up
just
with one
okay.
Fast.
I'm going to go with the fact that Mary Gross and Robin Duke were left out of the women of SNL.
Okay.
That was such a great tribute, and those two were so great back. Like you said, that whole era of SNL was genius.
Yeah.
And I just felt it wasn't fairly represented.
Okay, that's fair.
That's what I'm going
to
go with.
Okay, cool. My worst entertainment moment of the week, I think I mentioned this to you before. We had a couple of neighbors, a young Indian couple who just moved back to India. Mm-hmm. And the wife had never seen Star Wars. Did I mention this to you before?
You did.
Okay,
did
so
she,
she came over to watch it.
Ah.
And she really enjoyed it. But the really annoying thing was that on the DVD that we have, it's two DVDs. It's the special edition, which I didn't want her to see because it's got that terrible scene with Jabba in it. Uh-huh. And then all the extra crap added to Mos Eisley that just ruins that whole part of the movie.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
So we watched the original version, which was also in the DVD. But get this. The original version was letterboxed into a 4x3 window. So the picture was this tiny little dinky thing in the middle of the screen. And there's no way to get around that. There was no way to zoom in because, you know, on most TVs, when you use HDMI, you can't zoom.
Right.
You either do 4x3 or 16x9, and that's it. So the 16x9 was a 2.35:1 movie letterboxed into a 4:3 aspect ratio within the 16x9 window. So it was literally half the size.
How is that even watchable?
It was barely watchable. It was so annoying. And thank God our TV is a halfway decent size so that, you know, she could actually see it.
Right.
It was terrible. Whoever made those DVDs should be punched in the face.
At the very least.
At the very least. Possibly jail time should be involved. I'm just saying. What about your best entertainment moment of the week? Got one of those? Are you slacking
there
too?
I have a lot of those. I'm going to go with the Saturday Night Live Back to the Future casting parodies.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, and which one was better?
I loved Bill Hader doing Al Pacino.
Oh, see, I haven't seen that one.
Okay. So
I saw the other one.
He's got a great line in there. Okay. I won't ruin it until you see it. John Hamm does Robin Williams.
Okay. I didn't see that was part of the same one because I didn't see that either.
And then, you know, I like the Alan Alda. There's some.
The Alan Alda one was great. I just love all his little off the cuff remarks.
Also, the new African American guy they have on there, every impersonation he does is absolutely spot on. He did Denzel Washington a couple weeks ago. He did Will Smith a couple weeks ago. And he did Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
It's like
did he
perfect.
Also do Bill Cosby?
No, that's Keenan. Keenan Thompson.
Yeah. Thompson, okay.
But those were a lot of
so
fun.
So I don't think I've seen that guy yet then. I can't wait
no,
to see
No, maybe
it.
Not. You've got to see the Denzel one. We'll look for the Denzel skit too.
Okay.
He's great.
Cool.
But I really enjoyed those. And they kind of like... this week's Saturday Night Live wasn't very funny.
Yeah.
Other than that.
Right.
And the fact that, you know, they did the one, and I'm like, oh, that was really cool. I wish they would have done more of those. And then the next commercial break, they did more of those.
Well, that's
so
pretty cool.
Nice. Yeah. So I'll go with that.
Cool.
But the prestige is up there.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I'm almost surprised the prestige didn't win.
You know, it would have won it if I didn't talk so much about it.
Yeah.
Like
okay.
this we didn't really talk
sure.
about, so that's why I picked this.
Okay.
But really, you know what? The prestige won.
Fair.
Well, but don't tell anyone.
You can't.
Don't tell
they're all listening. They all heard it. They all heard it right here.
But they'll forget.
Okay. Fine. Your secret is safe with everyone. For my best, I'm going to go with that quote-unquote time travel video, the Charlie Chaplin thing, where the guy found this scene on a new Charlie Chaplin DVD. What it is in the behind-the-scenes footage from the DVD, I guess in the special features, there was this footage of the premiere of this movie called The Circus. Is that what it was called?
I don't know.
The Circus, right? The Circus? Right. And there's this shot. So you see this big crowd scene from the movie premiere. Blah, I can't talk right now. And then there's a shot of a sign for the movie premiere back behind a sidewalk, and there's people walking by. And this older man walks by, and then this old woman walks by who looks like she's talking on a cell phone, which, of course, would be impossible, not only because there were no cell phones back then, but there was no cell system at all. And it's really, really weird. And some people have speculated that she was using a hearing aid, like a very, very early model hearing aid, which would have been invented just 4 years before that. But the thing that makes that seem less probable is that she's talking. I mean, she's clearly talking. So if she was using a hearing aid, she was also a crazy person because she was talking to somebody. There was nobody with her. She was walking down the sidewalk by herself. But it's just really cool when stuff like that comes up, because just the possibility of thinking that something like that may have been possible is very enticing to me. And I think somebody should jump on that and make a sci-fi movie about
this time traveler.
This time traveler.
Yeah.
Who is she? Where'd she come from? Bless you.
Thank you.
Why? What was she talking into? Clearly not a cell phone. Was it a time phone?
I don't know.
It could have been a time phone.
What exactly is a time phone?
Well, it's like a cell phone, but instead of going through a cell tower, it goes through a time tower.
Ah.
A time portal.
Ah.
You imagine how long she would have been waiting if she had said, "Can you hear me now?" Nobody else has one. There's no one on the other end. But you haven't seen it, right?
I haven't.
All right.
Queued up right here.
Oh, you got it queued up right there. Okay. Well, you take a look at that afterwards, and I'll take a look at the other Back to the Future thing.
The gobbledygook.
And that pretty much brings us to the end of the show. So thank you, as always, for listening. And don't forget to go onto our Facebook page.
Yeah, post stuff.
Post stuff. Ask us questions. Life questions. Don't forget to ask us life questions, but make sure they're not too serious, all right?
And don't forget for you kids to...
I can't do it now.
What was that?
I don't know. I was going to do Ted Knight again.
I wish to do Ted Knight, but all of a sudden Ted Knight turned into...
He's Bobo the Clown.
What was that? Turned into Al Bundy.
I don't know. Al Bundy, he didn't talk like that, did he? I don't even remember.
That was more Al Bundy than Ted Knight.
I don't know what I was thinking. You pressured me. I can't do it. I'll get you next time. It's got to be a surprise or it's not funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What was the other voice that I did that you...
Mrs. Garrett.
No, not that one. There's some other voice that you actually liked. I can't remember what it was now. But go on to the Facebook, go on to the Twitter, go on to the iTunes. Does anyone use that ping service, by the way?
No.
No? Nobody's using it?
No one. Not a single person.
Not even
Steve Jobs.
That's it. He's the only one. All right. So thanks, as always, for listening, and we will see you next time.
Bye.